Now, I forgot one word in verse 44. He found, rather, he bought a field in which the treasure was, but he did something with it. He hides it. And then it leads to a verse here that is so precious. And for joy thereof. Not for sorrow thereof. For what? Who for the joy that was set before him did what? Endured the cross. You see, it takes other scriptures to help to explain all of this. So I'm going to leave you with this. But it's to tell you God is concerned about two things, the treasure and the pearl. And they're not the same thing. To be continued another time. Right now, you and I make up that treasure. But where are the real saints of God in the field of this world? Can you help me? Tell me if you can find 2 million spirit-filled Christians in Florida. And how about all 50 states? And even if you're to cover all 50 states, can we find all who know the Lord and really are 100% committed to him? None of us can. If you want to be honest, we are like Elijah who think, oh boy, here in Lottie we got a nice group of saints. In Brooksville, we have a nice group of saints, and we think we are special, and indeed we're special to God, but we're not the only ones. So what did the Lord have to tell Brother Elijah? I won't let him left, Lord. That's why I'm here. And I only am standing up for you. I have reserved unto me, the Lord says to him, how many? Who haven't bowed a knee to? Where were the 7,000? He couldn't see them. Who alone saw them? While the whole nation was going apostate, God had 7,000 who were truly the remnant, and they were hidden. Now, isn't it interesting in this parable, he doesn't say what happened to the treasure. He left it vacant because the parable is only concerned up to the end of the age. It doesn't tell you what will happen in the next age. But if you want to know the sequel, you'll have to study what follows that. And among those who make up his treasure is the pearl of great price. You see, the man is in search of goodly pearls, various ranks of the redeemed. But there's one that is the closest to him. And a pearl comes from the earth realm. But when you get into the city, the New Jerusalem, what are the gates into the city? They're made out of what? Pearl. And you don't get the pearl without suffering. The oyster has to suffer before it can release the fluid that will crystallize and become a pearl. But a man in both cases paid a price. And are we agreed he's going to have his treasure and he will have his pearl?
Amen.
Yes, sir. Maybe we don't see it yet. And we tend to get frustrated. But when God starts to do something, he never quits, as Brother Lester was showing us tonight. He's not only the beginning, he's also what?
The end.
And may I say, he's all between. And all I was trying to show you here is the man and the purchase. And we're going to end up with Hebrews chapter 2. And we'll continue this, Lord willing, tomorrow. Hebrews chapter 2. These verses are so tremendous. I used to read them, and I'm getting to appreciate these verses. In verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In three words, in these verses we've read, you have the word partaker of flesh and blood, which is kinsman. You have him bringing destruction on the devil, the avenger, and you have the word deliverer. So the kinsman redeemer must be related to the person in need by blood. He must also avenge the death of a brother, which we will look into later on. And he must deliver from bondage the brother in need, whether he lost his liberty or he lost his land. So, let's read along with this, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19 and 20. Brother Allen, can you help us? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20.
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Underline the words, you are bought with what?
All right.
Can you redeem possessions and property without paying a price? No. And who must do this work? The Redeemer, right? And the Redeemer must not only have the price, he must have the willingness to do it. When we get to the book of Ruth, if we can reach there in the end chapter, there are two men. One is closer than Boaz. And we're going to see who that other man was. That was willing to redeem the land, but he wasn't willing to marry Ruth. All right, we'll go into that in due time. But notice, we are not our own. Some people, even Christians today, many say, well, I can go here and I can do this and I plan to do so and so. But where is the Lord in it? We got to come to realize all that I am and have belong to whom now?
Yeah.
The Redeemer. So know you not, you're not your own. Your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. You've been bought with a price. What is that price? The precious blood of Christ. And now you're to glorify God where? Help me. And where else? Which are whose? Your body is your land, and your spirit is your person. Isn't it amazing how the scriptures explain themselves? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, because you've been so good, I'm going to dismiss you early. So we're going to look at this matter of redemption some more. And I will ultimately lead you into Revelation, because the bulk of Revelation is showing us the office of the kinsman redeemer. I didn't know that for many years. How many people today, for example, maybe Brother Lester and Brother Jason, they're asking us, what's going to happen now? Egypt is in turmoil. I was in Beaumont the other weekend. Brother, are you going to preach in Egypt? If you do, we could invite more people. Yes, we got a lot of curiosity seekers. And I'm not in the least bit interested. As a matter of fact, I don't care if it's not taped. Because some say, well, you know, if we tape it, well, we're going to get the tape. But they don't want to pay the price to come. Not I'm against taping. Don't misunderstand me. Isn't it strange how we get more wrapped up and tangled up with things? And what must we seek first?
Kingdom of heaven.
And what else?
Right.
Well, get the one who is the key to the problems, the solution to the problem. So I'm going to restrain my comments to tell you that the key thought in Revelation is not the revelation of the beast. It's not the revelation of the harlot. Please tell me what it is. And the word there means an unveiling, that what is hidden can be seen. In other words, Jesus is a central theme of the book, and he has the keys to unlock the mysteries. But we're seeking to unlock the mysteries with our limited intelligence. It can't go that way. And I'll tease you a bit, and then we'll close. The first three chapters, Jesus in the midst of the lampstands, is Jesus as the high priest over the church. First three chapters, you may not know why, because the high priest of old had to dress the lamps, trim the wicks, and supply oil. Right? Guess what is happening there? Jesus is the high priest over his people, and he's setting his house in order. Removing all that was once useful but is now useless. And he wants to supply fresh oil and clean wicks, that the light we give is not tarnished, but it's a bright light. Thank you. All that is in chapters 1, 2, and 3. I wish we had a whole year to go through that. Yeah. I've been in that a long time. I'm still in it because, you see, God brings us back to these things to show us how his word is always relevant for all times. But I didn't know. Many people teach after that the church is gone. You ever heard that? There's no more church because that they don't see the word church. They think the whole church is raptured. Well, how come you get to the end of the book and you see the word, I, Jesus, have testified unto you these things in the churches? And if the beast is going to war against the saints and all the saints are gone, which saints are he making war with? So, I don't want us to get off the track. But John sees the one on the throne with the book or the scroll with seven seals, and he's weeping because there is none in heaven, none on earth, none under the earth that could approach the one on the throne to take the book and loose the seals. And why? Because that's the title deed to this planet that man lost when he sold out to the devil. And no human being could reclaim the earth and bring man back to God. And the elder told him, don't weep. Who has prevailed? The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. In other words, the kinsman redeemer. It's he that comes to take that book. And what are you talking about praising and worshiping, as our brother was saying? There is no end to what happened there with the joy that broke forth when the Lamb approached. Well, we're going to look into that a little later. But he's doing two things. He's about to deliver his people from wickedness, bring an end to evil, put an end to the rule of Satan, and bring his people into full redemption. That's what the whole book is leading up to. Ultimately, new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. But we'll take a step at a time. We can't get all the messages in one night. So, isn't the Lord wonderful? And are you glad that he came to redeem us? And are you glad you can say, I know that my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. May I add one thing in closing? I've been closing a long time ago. Guess what they sang after the Lamb came and took the scroll and began to loose, and was now getting ready to loose the seals. Guess what was the theme of the song? Worthy is a Lamb that was slain to what? To redeem us by his blood out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe. So who is the Redeemer? You see him there? What's the price? His blood. Hallelujah. And because he paid the price, he will get what belongs to him. The treasure in the field, as well as the pearl of great price. And many goodly pearls. He shall see them from the hell of his soul, and he shall be what? Discontented? Dissatisfied? What? he shall be satisfied. May I add, Ruth means satisfied. Our sufficiency is of God, Paul wrote. When we have him, we don't need anything else. He's all that you and I need. Shall we stand?